How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
Me, Tom Allen. Meet Om Allen is what that sounded like when I said
meet,
it.
Meet.
Like meat and two veg.
Meet Om Allen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, what can you do now? It's done now, isn't it?
It's done now, love. It's done now.
It's done now. Now, We had
a request for a subject.
Yes, people do get in touch with us, you see.
You see this happens. You're sitting there thinking no one gets in touch with them.
Who's going to email them?
People do.
By the way, I didn't mention this.
Go on.
Last week's podcast, when I was talking about the Pet Shop Boys, I was in the queue at the bar.
Yeah.
I said to my friend, what should we get? She said, I want a red wine. I said, why don't we get a bottle? It'll last us the whole night. Anyway, they said, we have to put it. So after we've bought it, they're like, oh, we have to put it in two pint glasses.
Oh, after you've bought it. That's not on.
Undignified. So then we're walking around with like two pints of red wine, which inevitably you drink in like 10 minutes because you just want to get rid of the spillage risk.
Yep.
Anyway, I said, okay, that's fine. And then, so all the pleasure is taken from the glass of wine because suddenly you've got like a horrible plastic pint cup.
Yep.
But anyway, it was still a wonderful evening. I'm not saying it wasn't. I was just annoyed by the cup situation.
Of course.
And then I went to put my card in and he said, yeah, just put your card in. I said, yeah, but I can't read the screen. Do I need to put my pin in? He said, it's fine, just put your card in. And then we were waiting and I was like, and they were like, the show is starting in 1 minute. And I was like, no, I can't read the screen. He was like, it's fine, just put your card in. I was like, I put my card in. He was like, oh. And then I had to take it out again. We had to start again. And then I did have to put my pin in. Anyway, as we're walking away with our two pints of red wine, a man turns to me and says, that's a good subject for a podcast.
Oh, Tom.
My friend said to me, you should stay and chat to him. He's quite fit. But I didn't want to, you know, ruin the illusion.
But he knows that you thought he was fit if he is a listener to the podcast.
Well, he can get in touch if he wants.
Well, there you go.
The circle is complete.
The circle is complete.
Circle of life. But, yeah.
Our friend got in touch with us from America.
So another friend from America.
A like-minded friend from America.
Oh.
His name is Caleb Melchoy.
Caleb, I'm horribly dyslexic,
so I'm not going to have... So I'm absolutely dreadful with reading your surname. Melchoy, I think.
I've never met a Caleb before.
No, neither have I. Sounds very Irish, doesn't it? Do you think he's one of those Americans that says, I'm Irish, really?
Oh, maybe. Is Caleb an Irish name? Maybe it is.
I think it's Gaelic.
All right.
I raised my eyebrows as I said Gaelic.
What does he request?
He has requested a subject, which I think is very good. Awkward romantic advances, both given and received.
Oh. Well, I remember talking to somebody in Melbourne once in a nightclub.
Go on. Melbourne, clang.
Yes. In a nightclub, in a West End bar. And I was talking to this guy all night and I was like, he's into me, clearly. So it got to the end of the night and then I was just like, I'm just going to go in for the kiss.
For the kill.
So I just launched myself at his face and he went, oh no, I'm not interested in you like that. And you like that. Why have you been talking to me all night?
Yeah, I've had a very similar thing. I was in...
I mean, of course, people don't fancy people. That's allowed, but still.
No, it's not. So I was in Edinburgh a few years ago.
Oh.
Became friends with the
Clang,
girl that's...
by the way, Clang.
Clang, Edinburgh. This is about 5 years ago at the Fringe.
Long time ago.
Long time. I was a different woman.
You were a different woman then. It's before you really, like, reached into your style.
Do you know what? I didn't have a lot of... Well, I did have a style, but it wasn't a great one.
It was mainly... Sporty Spice.
It wasn't mainly Sporty Spice. It was mainly leggings with quite aggressive looking boots with chains on them.
Okay.
It was punky.
Punky.
You liked it.
Yeah, I did. I'm not saying it wasn't a good look.
Anyway, I'm at the Edinburgh Festival.
Sure.
Get chatting to a girl. She comes to my show. It later transpires she's an actress, she's a performer, she's a creative as well. Great.
A good match.
Let's go for a drink. We go for a drink one night. We go for a drink the next night. We go for a drink the next night. I'm thinking to myself, I think she's keen.
Right.
Am I right? Well,
yeah.
I'm not wrong.
You would think the messages were strong there. Yeah.
I would say the messages are strong there. So then one night she's like, I know a great place that stays open really late. I love staying out late, Tom.
I know you do.
Never grown out of it.
Will not go to bed this one.
Love staying out late. Mm. Feels naughty.
What?
Love it.
So what happened?
We're in this sort of jazz cafe place.
A jazz cafe.
A jazz cafe.
Yeah.
So it felt very New York.
Of course.
Which, of course, I love.
Wasn't Fingers Piano Bar, was it? That would be very ironic.
I think it might have been Fingers Piano Bar.
What a place to go to on a
lesbian date.
Also,
she took
me
there. So this lesbian took me to Fingers Piano Bar.
This lesbian took me to Fingers Piano Bar. I mean, the signs were there.
And I sort of leant across to be like...
Across the
keys. And she was like, oh, no, I've got a girlfriend.
Oh.
And I was like, how did that not come up in the last three times we've had a drink together?
You know.
Right?
Yeah.
She just wanted to know if I was into it.
Oh, well...
I'm taking off my top, Tom.
Okay.
I have a vest on.
She's getting very sweaty now. I'm hot and sweaty about this. Now, that is a bit... So did she not kind of go...
Oh, I'm sorry. I realise I might have been giving you mixed signals. No, never. And then I had a crush on her for about the next...
Because that's the thing,
isn't
it?
4 months, I would like routinely check her Facebook to be like, oh, her and her girlfriend seem happy.
That's because the Edinburgh, you feel... In the Edinburgh Festival, it's such a kind of time of kind of like feeling vulnerable and
yes.
feeling like emotionally...
No one likes me. Please
yeah,
like me.
It's so tiring and you're away from home and...
Yep.
And so, and I think it is a bit... Well, that's maybe a little bit... I've never done that to anybody.
And I still see her every year at the Fringe. We'll, like, walk past each other or we'll be in the same bar.
Hi.
And we'll both be like, hey! And I'll always have that... You know, we've all got that, like, knee-jerk memory of something that makes you, like, cringe or, like, makes you feel, like, shame.
But that's the thing, is that I... Maybe this is too hard
no,
to
go
say.
On. Be
But I
hard.
Think... I wonder what our listeners think about this.
Go on, get in touch, guys. You know the PA box.
In touch. Please do send us a page. I do think that... messages on the bleepers. They're not called beepers, aren't they? Not bleepers.
What are you talking about? The
little belt things.
What were they called?
Beepers, I think. Dennis isn't the beeper king in 30 Rock, isn't he? But I wonder, some people, I think, get off on making other people fancy them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then being like, and then doing the thing of like, oh, no.
I'm so sorry. I hope I wasn't giving you mixed
so
signals.
This always happens to me. Yeah, it always happens to you because you're a weirdo.
A whore.
Well, not even that.
A whore's too strong. A whore's far
because,
too strong.
Well, no, because, in my experience, it's people who are like, yeah, you fancy me, don't you? Or like people who I know, like someone has said to them, I had this experience when I was in my 20s.
Go on, Tom.
Where a mutual friend was like, Tom really likes you. And he was like, oh, I really like him. And then, but then he was like, oh, but I've got a, but he was like, I've got a boyfriend. And it was like, oh. But then he still wanted to be like bezzy mates and like would text me all the time and be like, let's go out.
Yeah, because they just like knowing that there's somebody there.
Yeah, those people are like...
I hate those people.
I don't like those people.
No.
Is that okay for me to say?
I think it's 100% fine for you to say.
And then I was like friends with him for years and like every time I'd see him, I'd be like, oh, if only we could be together. Training myself to have this kind of thing of like, oh, not for you.
Not for you,
romance
Tom.
Will never happen for you. And
if
of
only
course,
you'd
like,
been there earlier. If only.
If only we'd had this podcast back then. But I think that I found it really like upsetting, and I think that you know, like I say, like maybe some people are like, well, I can't go out with you, but I like you as a person. But still, you know,
there's being led on though, isn't there?
And people I've dated who I'm like, oh, I'd like us to go out, or like we've broken up, and I'd be like, oh, I still like you. I'd like us to see if we could work again. No, and they've been like, but we can be friends. And I'm like. Okay, what does that mean? And then they just
basically... Well, also, you've got me, like...
I've got you now, so I don't need any of those
friends.
Now. But I do think some people like to, you know, in the same way that Elizabeth I put...
Go on, Tom. I'm not sure where this is going, but I'm really into this analogy.
She kept Essex. It's in the film, Elizabeth. She keeps Essex, I think, alive.
The town.
Yeah, the county of Essex. The only way is Essex, she says. No, because she does have the love affair with... I think it's Essex. And people are going, no, it's not Essex, it's Warwick, but... I don't know, it was one of those places. And she keeps Essex, she has this love affair with Essex, but it turns out that he is plotting to overthrow her.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she beheads all of them except Essex, who she keeps alive in perpetual fear, but also as a reminder of how things can go. And I sometimes think, it's like that.
You sometimes, when you're at home with your ruff, wearing your ginger wig, thinking...
I sometimes do see myself as the Virgin Queen.
I sometimes see you as the Virgin Queen.
My favorite,
that'd be a great title for a show for you.
I would love to do that. My favourite quote from Elizabeth I is when they went to tell her that she was... Because I think she was kind of kept in house arrest somewhere in the countryside. And when they told her that Mary...
Queen of Scots.
Mary was there. Was there an Edward in between? Mary the First. Yeah, Mary the First. Played by Kathy Burke in the film.
Love Kathy Burke.
When Mary I died, they obviously went to say that Elizabeth would be the next
queen,
so she would be queen. So they went to tell her, and she was by a tree, I think. And so they all got down on bended knee and were like, "Well, it's going to be you." And instead of
it's
being
gonna
like,
be me.
And instead of being like all humble and like, "Oh my God, I just want to thank everybody," like people would do now, she just went, "This is God's work, and it is wonderful in our eyes." What an immodest thing to say. And I thought, "Oh, it is wonderful in our eyes."
And if you ever get a standing ovation, please say that.
Yeah, this is God's work, and it is wonderful in our eyes. And so I've always thought that sort of arrogance is very, very becoming. It's very endearing.
Of a virgin queen.
Of a virgin queen, who apparently wasn't a virgin.
Oh, what a slag.
Mm. can we say that?
I'd probably
also
not
in
know.
In the Police, apparently they
the film?
Say,
the band?
Yes, Sting and the Police. No, apparently in the Police, they say that that's not like, it doesn't have the same thing that it's meant to. When I was at school, people would be called a slag if they were promiscuous.
Right.
Slut-shaming, as I believe the term
is.
That's, it's not, it's used as like someone who's
I'm sorry
on the,
for slut-shaming the Virgin Queen.
Susie, you did not.
The queen that has been dead, how I many think, years, Tom? At least 10.
At least 10, maybe, well, not quite 500, but nearly.
I was not slut-shaming her, I was just being silly.
But no, but slag just means like someone who's, I guess, on the slag heap. So it's not, it's a man or a woman.
What's a slag heap?
I think it's sort of detritus from a building site, from a mine.
Oh, if I ran a sex club, that's what I'd call it.
Slag heap.
Now, Tom, talking of sexual advances.
Yes.
You won't believe what happened to me on Saturday night.
Oh, no. What's happened now?
I went and did a gig in London.
Of course you did. Worked hard for the money.
Worked hard for the money. Then me and Tony.
Creak of the chair, as you said, Tony there.
Me and Tony.
Yeah.
Went to Retro Bar.
Love
Retro
Bar. Nice place to go to. Always a shame it doesn't stay open later, I think.
Never stays open later. So we got there at 10:30. It was immediately last orders.
It's always the way.
Then tried to get into Halfway to Heaven.
Oh, who wants to do that?
Well, we tried to. There was a queue. Couldn't get in. There was a half an hour wait. I said, absolutely not.
Goes to show there is hunger for those gay clubs. So why they're all closing, I don't know.
Don't know. And they had a drag night on. Someone was doing Cher Cole. Cheryl Cole.
Cher Cole would be a great one to see. Cheryl Cole played by, like, if Cher was doing an impression of Cheryl Cole, that is a show I'd love to see.
Fight for the slow.
She'd also do the fight. She'd
yeah.
The voice thing.
Love Cher.
Of course, and she loves you.
Thank you. So, tried to get in there, couldn't. In the queue, absolutely not. Decide to get in, we think, well, there's a bar that's near our house that's quite nice. They stay open till 1.
Oh.
Let's go and have a little drink in the bar before we go home.
So
Tony said, we'll get an Uber. Let's get an Uber pool.
How was that? Because I am too scared to do that. My brother did that with his girlfriend once on the way back from Notting Hill. They didn't like the people who got in the car.
Well, this is the story.
Go on.
I was offered a threesome in an Uber pool.
I mean, there's hardly any room to get out, to shuffle across to get out, to get your seatbelt on. Never mind a threesome.
So this young, quite good-looking, very confident boy looked in the car, was about to get in the front seat, saw two girls in the back and went, budge up, I'll get in with you.
Disgusting.
So then arrogant. He was very arrogant, very arrogant.
How old?
But he could have been anything from like 17 to 30. It was really hard to tell. But he was being very nice.
Yeah, right.
He was being endearing.
Sure, that he knows what he was doing.
He knows what he was doing. But he got in and was like, oh, you're right, girls. So we're driver, it's just one stop now. It's just one stop. I'm going with these girls. And I was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. We knew his name was Drew because it comes up who you're sharing your taxi with.
Drew.
So Drew's giving it all this.
Giving it all that's there.
Saying, I'm going to take you to Madison's. I thought, I don't want to go to Madison's.
Madison's the, what was Madison's?
The rooftop bar in
Kensington?
No, near St. Paul's.
Oh, yeah, in One London or, no, yeah. New London. Yeah, whatever.
Near Bank. Yeah. And so I was like, I don't want to go to Madison's. And he kept on and he was like, no, come on, let's go. And I was like, no, this isn't going to happen,
please.
Drew. But he kept on, he kept telling me that I was very attractive. I said, thank you, but no thank you. He touched my hair at one point, which I thought was a step too far.
It's a bit of a step too far.
And then he kept being like, let's go. And I said, well, who are you going to meet now? Are you going to meet your girlfriend? And he said, she's not my girlfriend. And I said, well, I think you'll be very disappointed if it turns out that you've gone to Madison's with a pair of lesbians rather than going to see her after you've made plans to see her.
Mm, good for you.
Feminism.
Yes, and also...
Is that feminism?
But also, like, human decency.
Human decency.
Good
anyway,
manners.
He was not having any of it. Kept saying how he could give us a great night, what fun we'd have.
Why could he give you such a great night?
Well, I don't know what he thought he could bring to the table. We're both lesbians.
What has
he got? Very little interest,
right? What has he got on his iTunes?
Well, I've been...
Exactly.
I don't know what he's got that I don't.
Exactly.
I've got a lot of show tunes, some Pet Shop Boys after last week's episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a goer.
And some Stormzy, who I'm loving.
Oh, Thornton Heath, you see, just up there. It's where my dad used to work, Thornton Heath. I know it
Does
well.
He know Stormzy?
Yes.
Young Storms.
Yes.
Oh, but such a great album.
Such a great album. We love Stormzy. So that's not very nice.
Weird, though, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you feel like, oh, well, that's sort of flattering because...
Sure.
But then at the same time, he was very pushy. But then I thought the kind of confidence that he had.
Yeah.
Which, again, the kind of confidence I would kill for.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Love that kind of confidence.
Yeah, I'd love to be confident.
I'd love to be confident. Oh, Tom, come now.
Confident people get what they want, don't they?
I think so. It's like then they how to make friends and alienate people.
But yes, I need to read that book. All those self-help books. I haven't got the energy to buy them.
I
haven't got the courage to go into a bookshop, unfortunately. But
need to get a Kindle.
Just get a Kindle. The thing is, so they... Yeah, but I think I think they get a lot of knockbacks. This thing with confident people, but they just don't care.
Well, that's the thing. So I said to Tony afterwards when we got out of the cab,
"What did she say?"
And he was like, "Oh, come on, let me come with you just for a drink." And we were like, "No, Drew, you seem lovely. I'm sure there's a girl that's waiting for you somewhere. Mm. We're very happy, and we're going to go for a drink. But thank you all the same." And then Tony and I found it very, very funny because he was being like really funny, like charming, and he was making us laugh. Uh-huh. I can't imagine it happening to a straight couple.
Yeah, I can't imagine Drew. Yeah, imagine if I turned up. I mean, like, let's make it a four.
Yeah, or like...
I mean, I wouldn't have done that. That would have been ridiculous.
I really feel like it would ruin our friendship
as
well.
It would really upset everything.
And really upset the podcast.
It would really put a strange tinge on the podcast.
But imagine if I got into a car with two gay guys and was like, oh, come on. How do you know if you haven't tried?
Yeah, totally unacceptable.
Unacceptable, but to two girls, it's fine. But the thing was, the confidence that he had, the confidence that he got in the car with tells me... that one in four times it works. Not with lesbians, but with girls. One in four times a girl will go... Like, he was nice looking, he was dressed well, he was charming. He just had on, like, a nice... Like, just a shirt, like a short-sleeve shirt and a pair of jeans.
Short-sleeve shirt? What, like he works in a bank or something? Like a short-sleeve... Or T-shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, in my mind, it's like a short-sleeve shirt.
Like a holiday wrap?
Like a holiday wrap, yeah. Maybe a name badge on.
He did, true. But imagine, I mean, what a time to be alive, to be offered a threesome in an Uber pool.
I feel like Uber pool is basically Uber pool.
Do you?
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon people go round in that all just hope. I mean, if I was in the back of it, like, who's going to get in next? You'd hope it'd be the love of your life, but it'd be...
It feels like a secret, a hidden camera show, doesn't it?
A bit, yeah. But do you ever find, I mean, you're not a single person, but whenever I'm on an aeroplane, I always hope that I'm going to find somebody... Like, I don't talk to people on aeroplanes. I urge the listener. But I do think maybe this time...
I'll be lucky.
Yeah. Da-da-da. And maybe he'll come and sit next to me. I mean, how passive am I as a dater? Then I just sit there.
Well, that's why you have to go out and put yourself on the town.
Well, after that whole experience in Melbourne where I went in for the kiss and he said no...
It knocks your confidence.
It does.
It still makes me...
I mean, it was so awful.
Yeah, it's
so embarrassing.
It was so
cringeably embarrassing.
Yeah, I have had that exact same moment with a girl in Edinburgh, and it was so like, and I kept seeing her, and the feeling would like wash over me.
Yes, yes.
Because it was her face as well. Like, whoa, no, I'm not. No, as in like the idea of me trying to kiss her was like horrendous. Like, this is disgusting.
I just think it's so like, I don't know.
Neither do I.
I just think be kind to people. I think it's a bit thoughtless, isn't it, to be like. And what was she doing up there?
Oh, I don't know. She was working on a couple of shows, doing a bit of
But she'd be in,
stuff.
Like, a play with loads of other people. You know, it'd all be sort of sorted out. Like, going up there, I'm such a martyr. But, like, if you're there as a star...
I'm a martyr and I love it.
Well, you know, it is vulnerable and you're paying for it all yourself and you're losing money.
Yeah, you lose money in Edinburgh.
Thousands.
Thousands of pounds.
And
everyone does.
Everyone does. And you just think, it's not okay to be... I don't know. I think that's a bit leading on. I mean,
100% a bit leading on.
It's fine
on,
if
yeah.
you don't fancy someone, but at the same time, just don't be aware of like if you're in a relationship and you're not making that clear, that's not very fair. I don't think.
I think you're absolutely.
But
right.
Am I being a bit moany?
No, because I feel like the situation that I'm in now, I wouldn't be like going out for a drink with a girl until the early hours and then be surprised that she thinks
a single person, especially.
Yeah.
Unless you were like, I mean, I would definitely be like. Oh, well, my boyfriend says this.
Totally, yeah. I'd be like, oh, it's a shame my girlfriend can't join us. You'd get on really well with her next time.
I was telling
I'll bring her
I was meeting you for a drink. And yeah, I'm saying,
this is all very out in the open.
I'm not, you know,
looking for a...
Or, you know, and I have met people who are like, oh, my boyfriend's this, my boyfriend's that, but we have an open relationship.
I've open that. Relationships, Tom.
Met that.
I don't think I could do it.
What, on what side?
Any.
What, in the relationship or the, like...
To be the guest star.
The guest star. Yeah. To be a special appearance.
Yeah, a PA.
Yeah. Very different thing in the gay community, by the way. Prince Albert.
Oh, is that when you have a piercing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, thank you.
Well, I do not.
No.
Because I couldn't bear it at airports.
Oh, how embarrassing. Does that happen?
I guess. I don't know. I've never had
ding,
one.
Ding, 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 ding.
Have you got... And you have to go... I imagine you have to go, like, I've got a piercing. Which I'm sure those people love, actually.
Yeah.
And it's a bit showy-offy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I'd like... I think it sounds very painful.
I think it sounds painful too, you know, Suze.
Well, there we are. So, yeah, I don't think I could do... I don't think I'd want to be... I don't have the... I'm just not a three-way relationship kind of gal.
I think I'll take whatever anybody offers. But the thing is, as my friend said the other day, the things you don't want to be in a relationship, you're not happy in. And I was like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I want to be in any relationship.
I just want to be in a relationship. And I think, and I sort of stand by that a bit. And maybe I'll regret that at some point. But do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot
of
people...
I think one day I'm going to be at your wedding and I'm going to scrawl.
Scrawl.
That's not a word, is it?
Scrawl. What, we're going to do a virtual wedding? You're just going to see it on Facebook live feed.
Scroll back through all of our podcasts at your wedding.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to play that bit that you just said whilst doing my speech that I assume I'll be asked to do.
Of course.
Where I say, and Tom just going, I'll take any relationship. I don't care. I would like to say congratulations to Tom and Elton. Thank you.
Well, it's just not like... Not any.
No,
any,
I
but
know.
But, like, you know, one that...
Well, also, you can't constantly look for perfection because it's so often not a thing.
Yeah. And I sort of think...
It's got to be perfect. It's like, no, it doesn't. It has to be, like...
Functioning.
Functioning, workable. Something that can,
that's
you can
the
make
word,
improvement.
Those are the wordings I want you to use in this wedding speech.
It's think
so
this
great
is
to see
Tom functioning.
So functional.
And Tom finally functioning in adult life.
And what a lovely function this is to celebrate.
Now, DJ, put on the funk.
But do you know what I mean? I just think, oh. Because I feel like there are people who are like in a relationship, but they're only in a relationship to build their own confidence so they can actually, when the right one comes along.
Oh, do you think that's a thing?
I think that happens. I'm very cynical about people.
You're
aren't
very
I?
Cynical about everything, yes.
You have to be.
But I love it.
Yeah.
No. I feel like we've really nailed it. We've talked about threesomes and Uber pools. What do you people want? So, Tom, I was going to do sort of like a little talk down of all the tour shows we've got coming up.
Oh, please do that, Susie.
Okay.
I love that.
So, on Friday the 21st of April, we're at Bath Comedia.
Oh, come to that.
Friday the 28th of April, we're in, Norden Farm. That one's sold out.
Sold out, babe.
Sold out, sorry. Sells babs. Saturday the 29th of April, Bradford.
Bradford, come to that.
Alhambra
That's
Studios,
only,
Northern.
Well, there are other North, but that's our only Yorkshire one.
Yorkshire, that's right. Saturday the 6th of May, Barton-upon-Humber.
Yeah, so, oh, well, no, that's not Yorkshire, is it? That used to be South Yorkshire.
I've got no idea, Tom.
Humber.
The Humber Bridge, we go over the Humber Bridge.
Oh, I love that in San Francisco.
Friday the 12th of May, Shoreham Rope Tackle.
Oh, Shoreham Rope Tackle, which, as we said, sounds a bit like a sexual
euphemism.
Act.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if you are a Londoner and you missed mine and Tom's shows at the Soho, maybe a good one for you to come to would be Blackheath Halls.
Blackheath Halls will
just
be
in southwest London. Southeast London. What would I do without you?
End up on the wrong side of London, by the sounds of things.
Probably, yeah. On the 13th of May, that's Saturday Blackheath the 13th
Halls.
Of May.
It's just like a 10-minute... train ride from London Bridge, if you haven't been there. It's a lovely
and it's
venue.
Quite near the station as well, if you fancied it. Then on the 27th of May, Saturday the 27th, we are in Milton Keynes.
Oh, MK, yeah.
MK. Then on Friday the 23rd of June, we are in Great Torrington.
Yes, down in Devon.
Yes, and then on Saturday the 24th of June,
Ivy Bridge.
Our final tour show, and literally a month before we take our new shows to the Edinburgh Festival, mm-hmm. we will be at Ivy Bridge.
Yes.
But all of those details, as ever, you can find at tomindeed.com/shows.
Correct. And susieruffle.co.uk/tour.
Yes. Of course, you can always get in touch with us on Twitter at Tom Allen Comedy or at Susie Ruffle.
Yes.
And as ever, if you would like to get in touch, we answered Caleb's request today of asking awkward sexual advances. You got it, Caleb. I hope you're happy all the way in America.
Hope that answered
your questions. Basically, you brought up a lot of sadness and made me tell a story about feeling quite sexually uncomfortable.
There's a guy with a great beard just walked past the window.
You do this quite a lot.
Easily distracted.
Just like a puppy.
Yeah. Slightly more rugged, actually, than I anticipated when the sun caught him. He was slightly older, actually, but I still thought he was attractive, which I think is important, because then...
Like, we're all getting older.
If you can fancy a 50-year-old, then suddenly it opens up, like, a whole new seam of guys to go out with.
Seam?
Yeah, it's like a seam of coal.
But I like that.
Mm.
Well...
All the words.
That brings us to the end of our podcast.
Oh.
If you wanted to get in touch and suggest your own theme, you can do that at chat2likemindedfriends@gmail.com. But if not, then join us again next week. Oh. As ever, we'll be joining you from our tiny studio in London Bridge and telling you whatever we've been up to that week.
We can't wait for it. And we love you listening to us. So thank you so much for joining us and for being our like-minded friends.
Oh, also, we've had some lovely reviews on iTunes. And we're currently on a 5-star rating, which is...
Oh, better than Uber.
Better than Uber.
I'm only on 4.78 on Uber.
You know. So if you like us, maybe write us a little... If you think we're 5 stars, go and give us a little review. If you think we're 4 stars, then don't bother.
Yeah, we really want to keep it up there.
Yeah,
yeah. But do say hello there. Thank you very much for joining us, and our thanks also to our producer Jamie Wareham. And we look forward to speaking to you next week on Like Minded Friends.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.